Peace and blessings, everybody. I am your brother, Juan Carlos X, at Slatestone Music, anywhere online. Welcome to the Plug Room, where you can plug your business, plug your brand. Here at the Plug Room, we are all about community development, which is building people and linking people with people. Visit plugroom.com, hashtag, visit theplugroom.com, hashtag the Plug Room on any social media site or internet connection you may have. You're definitely going to find us. We have four different categories we operate in here at the Plug Room. One, mainly being community development. Two, we have the audio forensics, which we break down different audio and delve deeper into that aspect of it. We have digital forensics, where we do, you know, the cyber and technology and AI and whatnot, which we also tap into. And then the fourth category is the AU, or the art unveiled. So today we're going to be plugged in with the artist, a creator, an MC, a poet. He wears many hats that he will share with us. But this category is going to be partially some audio forensics, but more of the AU, the art unveiled, where we kind of go into the mind of the creators and see how they went from thought to creation. So we appreciate you for tapping in and plugging in with us, whatever platform you may be watching it on. Please feel free to share it out. If you know someone who has value, who deserves to be in the Plug Room, text the word network to 559-791-8468. Someone will reach out. But without any further delay, let me bring up our guest today, Ryan McNeil. Peace and blessings, peace, brother.
Peace, peace, brother. How are you?
I'm doing well, sir. How about yourself?
Great. I feel great, to be honest.
Yeah. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. So first off, for those who may not have heard of you or don't know you, who are you and what are you known for?
Great question. Well, first and foremost, my name is Ryan. In the art world, Ryan or Deuce. Ryan or Deuce, real simple, exactly how it sounds, you know, just depending on where you know me from. I'm either Ryan or Deuce. I'm originally from the DMV area, small town called Woodbridge. A lot of gangsters are there, a lot of stuff is there. You know, the regular cliche, stereotypical stuff that comes with a black male in society, you know, police, violence, trauma. My parents were super dope. They did everything they could, you know, to guide me in the right direction, but I was in the streets. And I ended up doing 15 years in prison, and here I am now. You know, I've been home for 5 years. I've managed to accomplish a lot in these 5 years. You know, I'm very happy. My family, they're out in the next room somewhere doing what they do. You know, so it's just been a good life, you know, just living and creating since I've been free.
Indeed, brother, indeed. Stay creating, man. Stay living, man, and stay on the path that it seems that you're on, from my vantage point. When did music become a part of your life? What's your connection to music, and how did that begin?
I mean, for real, I think I was born into it. I got into my teens, and I learned that my father and his five brothers, they had a band. You know what I'm saying? They're all from Queens. So, you know, music was always in them. When I was growing up, I heard a lot of different stuff playing. My father had a ton of vinyl. I messed up a bunch of it, you know, trying to do little stuff as a kid, you know, messing with his turntable or whatever. But it was just always there. You know, I would hear, you know, I don't know what made me want to put words to it so young. And I know that, like, I can't speak as a rapper, but it's like poetry at least 6 years old. Guaranteed. Like, my mother still tells stories about that to this day. You know, some of the stuff that I would just, your mom, listen to this. And I have my little paper in my hand. And so the wording, it just came in time, but it was really my father's implementation of rhythm in my life. Like, he would just always play the, you know, like, he just always played the dopest stuff. You know what I'm saying? You know, you hear back, you know, you don't understand, like, the effect of hearing, like, you're 2 years old, and you don't know that that's the OJs and that's Backstabbers playing. But that frequency in your mind, you know what I'm saying? And how, you know, that rhythm starts to affect you. And so the artist part of me always loved it. You know what I'm saying? Even though I would get older and the the man, the part of me who has knowledge of self would understand the deeper value and just the name of it. That's the, you see what I'm saying? So, you know, it was just, it was put in me, man, by, you know, a great man who's no longer here. My father.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Indeed, brother. So you mentioned the OJs as some of the music you were exposed to early on. You mentioned that 2 years old. Who were some of your, just a few of your musical influences that kind of influenced you and further pushed you into the music artistry realm?
Well, as far as the influences, like my earliest influence, even though I could, you know, go back to knowing I heard certain stuff, and I wouldn't be able to say that I was at that age knowing what I heard. But as far as like the people that I was conscious of who were guiding me, it was Run DMC, Rakim, Big Daddy Kane. You know what I'm saying? Like those were the earliest. You know, when I was young, my favorite movie for a long time was Crush Groove. You know what I'm saying? So it was just, I always was always just towards the people who were in those spaces. And so they grabbed me, and that's what I was moved by. You know, LL, you know what I mean? But really like Rakim and Big Daddy Kane for real.
Yes, sir. What was, or when did you decide to actually start refining your gift or tapping into your gift as far as putting words together and pursuing music in that realm, as far as like, I'm gonna align this, I'm gonna write this together, I'm gonna construct this song, I'm going to pursue a music, not necessarily a career, but I'm gonna take this journey in music myself. When did you decide that, and how did that evolve?
The most truest answer I could give to that would be while I was incarcerated. Right now, even though I can walk you through the many years of like being in school, writing raps, you know what I'm saying? Learning how to use wordplay better. You know what I'm saying? Like I know a bunch of people who could tell stories, all the stories from my youth of, yo, Ryan, kick a freestyle. Yo, spit something right quick. All right, I got you. Oh, yo, listen to this. I wrote it. You know what I'm saying? And so I always was headed in that direction, but I never had nobody around who was like, yo, let me take you to the studio. But I grew up in a place where we listen to live music be played and a lot of cover songs are done. You know, I don't know if you've ever, I'm sure you've been to, you know, about the DMV area, you know, go-go music is very popular. And so we grow up listening to, watching and listening to live music, going to performances. And so that automatically, especially if you have any type of artistry in you, it's going to move you. You know what I'm saying? And so I always was guided to performance. I was always guided to being outspoken about it. But as far as going and saying, yo, this is how you structure a thing. This is how you go in here and you do it. Let me show you how to, you know what I'm saying? The breath control, so forth and so on. Like I didn't, that came much later while I was incarcerated. So it wasn't, yeah. So that's when I would say it came. My writing was always just the focal point. It wasn't until many years later that it was like, I know I have to do more with this.
Yes, sir. So when did you experience music on a professional level, i.e. a performance somewhere, i.e. Video production, something on a level of professional music career? When was that first experience for you? Recording in the studio?
Oh, man. A couple years ago, since I've been free, really. You know, the beautiful thing that I can say came, you know, which is being incarcerated, you know, we always had access to like band rooms and stuff. So like the whole time I was there, I was rapping the entire time I was there, you know, in the Department of Corrections, you know, brothers just would know a brother for just, I was always known for rap. So the flow would just always be able to be worked on, you know, just write a bunch of songs. But it wasn't until I got out and I got out and I learned that I had an ameliblastoma in my jaw, right? It's a non-cancerous tumor. And so a couple months after being home, they was like, look, you need to get this removed. If you don't get it removed, they showed me a bunch of messed up pictures like, yo, your face could end up like this. And I was like, what? You know what I'm saying? And so they ended up the October of the year I got out in February of 2018, that October, I was went into surgery. I was in surgery for like 10 hours. They cut it out, took a piece of bone out of my leg, whatever. So to be honest with you, I had kind of just like gotten to the point where like, your music is dead for me. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, I'm fresh out of prison. Like, I just need to focus on, you know, getting my body back to its highest level so I can just take care and do right by my family, which is what I did. I'm saying it became my only focus. It was the only focus. As soon as I was able to heal, it took a little while, but you know, my face was swollen for a minute, but you know, I was still out there doing what I needed to do. And so somewhere in the process of that, to be honest, like my jaw still wasn't working. Like, you know, I'm out of society. I'm talking, I'm speaking, I'm putting myself in places, but it wasn't easy to like do this fluidity anymore. You know what I'm saying? And so I just be in the house frustrated on my inability to articulate. So it was really just, I went back to just, I would write all the time, regardless of whether I did it professionally, but I was really using it to fix my jaw. For real. I just needed something that I recognized that would help me be able to push words out again, just so I could talk regularly. You know what I'm saying? So in the process of that, you know, my man was like, yo, he got out, he made parole, and he called me his first day. I was like, let me hear something. And I was like, well, I got a couple of hours. And he was like, yo, why you not recording? And I was like, man. And he just convinced me to do it. And so here I am like 3 years later. Like, I just, to be honest, one of the brothers told me one day, he was like, yo, Ryan, you could rap for real. He's like, you could always spit. But he was like, yeah, record like 100 songs and then holler at me. And I was like, all right. And then so when I came back to him with the 100, he was like, oh, well, you know. So, you know, it's just, you know what I'm saying? But, you know, it's just the beauty of how it's all unfolded for real.
Yes, sir. Okay, so how does the creative energy begin in Ryan, in your mind? What is the genesis or the thought process when it comes to creating a musical piece of content or a poem or a lyricism or a song? What's that creative spark and how does that come about?
It's crazy because when my brother sees this, he's going to trip because how you just worded it. Because the man, that brother I'll keep talking to you about is his name is Genesis. It's just funny how you worded that. Okay. But it's really just, society. Life, you know what I'm saying? Like, you know, I'm a man, you know, every morning I get up, you know, I study degrees and then I read, you know what I'm saying? Or reverse. And so my mind is just always clear every single morning as I'm going into my day. And there's no way to not see what's happening in the world. You know what I'm saying? Like, I like to, you know, we all, you know, as artists, as poets, and we all look at ourselves in a certain way. The truth is, I like to consider the fact, I think that I write lectures about what I'm thinking about, what I'm looking at. You know what I'm saying? Like, I be having a lot of opinions. Like, I can talk a lot. Like, I can really run this thing. And so the truth is like, I've been blessed enough to articulate exactly what I'm thinking in any form I want it to be. And it doesn't matter if it's a video, it doesn't matter if it's music, poetry, we can have a conversation. And so my mind is just always guided by what I'm looking at and listening to and the things that I know is correct or incorrect, you know what I'm saying, or righteous or unrighteous. Like, it all happens. I'm talking about the you know, the speed at which it takes place, you know what I'm saying? Like, I can be sparked and guided by anything, you know what I'm saying?
So. Yes, sir. That's dope. So once the thought has been formed from whatever inspired that thought, waking up clear-headed, getting into the teachings every day, being aware of the world that's around you. Once that thought has sparked, what is the next step in your creation process?
I mean, really, it's... Nah, forgive me.
No, you good. I just said, what are the next steps for you?
I don't know in that in particular way because it just kind of happens. You know, it's, you know, with music, you know, as Dr. Wesley put it so beautifully, you know, God is a mathematician and a musician. So it's like being that that formula and that rhythm, it just comes. Like, I don't even know how to, it just, like, the scientist, you know, like, the scientist part of the musician, it just, it turns on. And so it's, once it's on, my brain just, like, take the right hand video I recently put out. You say, that song is sparked by, like, three things. Two of them happened in a morning, reading Quran, asking myself about the whole right hand, left hand breakdown within the Quran, about the importance of the righteousness here, the unrighteous here, and so forth and so on. And so I thought about the importance of that and just the poets that whose names have been mentioned throughout history. Why is David and Solomon so important in scripture? You know what I'm saying? And so, not to go too far, but just my thought process was, if I could say something righteous, it would be written from this perspective on behalf of this. You know what I'm saying? And so that's how my mind works. Like, I have a thing that I think and I feel, and I find the clear, conscious way I could say it. Like, that's what I am as an artist.
Yes, sir. You mentioned just now in your response, you said what you think and what you feel. You write what you think and you feel. My question is, in that process of creating, once that science you mentioned starts just turning on, what do you see? What do you imagine? What are you hearing mentally as a scientist when you start creating? If anything.
See, I'm a clear cut guy. So I won't say a lot of stuff out, because you don't want to look crazy. You know what I'm saying? Even though you understand you.
Right.
You know what I mean? But in all seriousness, man, like when I started to write in certain stuff, especially because, you know, I'm a very serious guy. You know, you can listen to how I rap. You know what I'm saying? I'm a serious guy. You know what I'm saying? And the truth is, especially when I'm getting it, when it comes to the social commentary, like, I feel like I'm, other than the moments that I'm, you know, I work with gangs in the community. You know what I'm saying? We'll come back to that. But so I have a lot of moments where I'm right there. Like, what I'm saying in these bars, I was right there. I saw it. I smelled it. I hugged somebody who was crying from it. You know what I'm saying? And so in my mind, if it's based on that, then I'm there. If I'm coming from a perspective that's based on something that I read or saw somewhere that I wasn't necessarily directly a part of, it's like my mind is just there. So I can see it. It's clear. Like, it's, that's why I can detail it so clear. It's like, it's just one of the things, you know, the best of the creators has given me. It's like, yo, he's made me to love detail. You know what I'm saying? And so those details are just, you know, yeah. Not to sound crazy, you know what I'm saying?
You don't sound crazy to me at all. Just because with some of what you relate, I can relate to, you know what I mean? It's familiar.
Mm-hmm.
I also understand not sharing, not saying we're supposed to share our thoughts with everybody, but you really can't, because it's your vision and it's in your mind. And if you share certain things with certain people, they will be like, this man, he's psycho, he crazy, he don't know how to talk, you know what I mean? So,
he driven. Yeah, that's a fact.
Do you ever run into any creative blocks or any creative blocks or halts in your creation? Or once you start that creative process, it's right then, start to finish, and then on to the next?
No, I don't. I don't suffer blocks. I think that if you suffer from, in my personal opinion, if you suffer from a block, then that means you're trying to do something that you're not supposed to be doing. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, I understand that as artists, you know, we all have that thing in us that, like, especially when you learn that it's in there, it's like, oh, what? I can do this. And then, you know, you have that next thought that I'm the greatest. But the reality is you're pulling from a place that you can't control. You know what I'm saying? That you have no access to until you have access to it. You know what I'm saying? In its most proper form. Like, I remember being young, especially when I was in prison. I remember just, I wanted to fill my time with just wanting to rap. So I would just try to, I'm talking whether or not I had a direction, a concept, an idea. I just wanted to rhyme words. You know what I'm saying? And a lot of that should be, forgive my language, a lot of it just be babble. You know what I'm saying? But it helps you get better. You know, as an artist, you have to get certain things up. But as I've gotten older, I've just learned that when it's there, it's there. You'll know it's there. And you won't be able to, you'll have to go and let it out. You know what I'm saying? And so I don't suffer blocks. What I do is my mind will transition from one thing to the next. So I might have spent the last week and a half when I wasn't working, my time was then split between 80% of it was writing raps and 20% was working on like visual content. You know what I'm saying? But then the next week, the whole polarity might switch and I didn't write a single bar. All I did was make visual content. You know what I'm saying? But then the week after that, I might not have written a single song or made any visual content. But for the organization I work for, I just wrote a lecture about music. You see what I'm saying? That's going to last a month. And so it'll just, the creativity will just transition from one thing to the next. So I don't suffer from blocks in any area. Just it's here when it's supposed to be here. And when it's not there, I move on to the next and then I'll come back to it when it's time.
Yes, sir. Now, looking briefly at your bio and stuff online, you mentioned I think it was your Linktree or maybe even your website. You mentioned you had four teachers. Who were your teachers and how, not necessarily each one, you can briefly touch on each one and how they inspired you, but who were your four teachers that you mentioned?
My four teachers, when I say, I mean, Master Farid Muhammad, the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, I mean, Clarence Smith, also known as the Father from the Nation of Gods and Earths, and the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. When I say that, like, I say it exactly how I mean it. These are the teachers who resurrected my mind in this lifetime. You know what I'm saying? Period. I've never been anything else other than a part of the Nation of Gods and Earths. And now, you know, just delving deeper into what Islam is. And mind you, when I say that, I mean really amongst the brothers from the NOI. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's really what it's, my path has always just been in, as far as those who have guided what my mind has been. That's where I received the consciousness. That is where I received knowledge itself. It was those men who told me, yo, this is how you're supposed to think. And so reading Message to the Black Man in America, you know, knowing the importance of what these teachings have just been for the brothers, knowing the importance of, I've read so many Minister Farrakhan's lectures.
You still there, brother? Might be having some. Can you hear me?
The teachers who resurrected my mind. Without what they brought to what this is, I'm not this.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And we broke up a little bit. You know what I mean? I got to when you start getting into the minister.
I saw that.
And his lectures. Then for some reason we had some technical. You know what I mean? But it's all good. I understand what's going on, man. So that's deep. I appreciate you sharing.
Oh, for sure. I saw that. I said,
go ahead.
Okay. You had froze on me there for a minute, brother.
Yeah, you know, this happens.
You're good now. You said what? I missed what you said.
Sometimes this happens. You know, I'm sure you know it happens. I don't think it's coincidence. Sometimes I think it's intentional, but hey, you know, God knows best. You know, he's the best knower and the best planner.
Indeed.
What atmosphere do you like to create in? And why do you choose that as your environment to create?
Well, visually, I like Photoshop. I like CapCut. You know what I'm saying? Like, they're relatively easy to use. Canva is good too. And then on my computer, you know, I have Microsoft, so it has its own other program that just comes with it. Like, any video like program that they have, like an app store for real, I just try like all of them. You know what I'm saying? But my favorite, I love to use Photoshop and CapCut. You know what I'm saying? Like, those are the two that I think for real, you know, most creators, you know, probably maybe like to use, but it is relatively easy to use. You know what I'm saying? Yes, especially when it just comes to like video. Yeah, very easy to use, move around stuff. A lot of stuff.
Yes, sir. And now on another level of creation, when you're
what do you like to use?
That science of your lyricism and you have that music. Are you with the beats going and then you're writing? Do the lyrics start without the music and then you take the lyrics and go try to match it up to some music that you have purchased and or produced? What environment does that process or that art created in?
It just depends. It just kind of depends. Like, recently, like some of the joints that I've recently recorded, it really just depends on Brother Juan. It's like, so I've been blessed enough to know a number of brothers, you know, who mess with my flows, and so that are producers who have sent me beats just off the strength, like, yo, let's collaborate, let's start creating a catalog together. And I'm like, all right, that's a bet. And then because, you know, I'm just a solid individual, you know what I'm saying? I just always appreciate when the people, you know, come to me in that way. You know, I'm always going to go back and be like, well, what do you have for sale? You know what I'm saying? Like, let me see what you got. You know what I'm saying? You know, we're all trying to make it to a certain place, you know? And so that's kind of how it's just gone thus far. You know what I'm saying? And in between times when I may not be working on something that I've gotten from somebody, which, to be honest, I don't really have that many moments. Like, I'd be getting blessed for real. I got a fresh beat that I'm getting ready to go work on it later today. But I go looking for beats. Like, you know, I love, you know, I came up in a certain era of hip hop and I was incarcerated for a long time. And so, you know, I always said to myself, you know, all right, if I'm going to take this serious, then I feel like I need to go back and come forward. You know what I'm saying? So in between the moments in which I'm working on current up-to-date music, you know, I'll go back way back to like 92, 93, and I'll go lay 100 bars down and then I'll do it again and I'll do it again and I'll do it again and I'll do it again. You know what I'm saying? Because in my personal opinion, Brother Juan, like, I'm kind of like this. Knowing that, you know, music is not only a journey of just who you are artistically and who you may be historically in your own time frame, but it's meant to tell a story. It's meant to convey, you know, parts of you that the world won't be able to see on a regular basis. And so when I'm thinking about the music, you know, knowing that this, you know, we all, you know, all of us who do this will all say, oh, I was meant to do this. I was meant to do this. But to be honest, like in my own life, like I swear, like if I point out the things that say I was meant to do this, brothers would be like, yo, he might just be meant to do it. You know what I'm saying? And so for me, man, I'm in this weird double journey with music. I've created a catalog that is current. It says exactly how I view society right now, that I believe you could listen to it for 50 years from now and be like, damn, that's clear. I understand it. I can see it for exactly what it is. And then on the other side of it, because I just love the art form so much, you know, I'm almost like a graffiti artist on that side. You know, I go find, you know, the classic people that I listened to growing up, and I go and, you know, I go and mess with their stuff and I just hope that they like it. But then I also say to myself, yo, 50 years from now, when people are listening to that, it's going to sound like I was there. Like, I'm not even old enough to have been there with them to do this. But if I do this well enough, not only will they appreciate it, but in the future, when you listen to that, you'll have to bear witness to mine right next to it. So I'm kind of like in this weird, multi-layered, like, canvas artistic journey for real, man. And it just comes with a lot of great moments, to be honest with you.
Yes, sir. I got a few more questions for you, and then we'll end this.
Yes, sir.
Brother. How often do you create, or how often do you contemplate creations? And then what's the number versus how often you create?
I think as a creator, I think as a creator, like all the creators know, like you're always creating, even when you're not, you know what I'm saying? Like, even when you're not sitting down and you're like, I'm gonna, like somewhere in the back of your mind, you're putting stuff together. You know what I'm saying? Like, it'd be hard for me to be somewhere like the random moment you might be in the store somewhere, you go to look at your phone, you stand in line or whatever, you see the post from somebody about something on one of your, or social media site. And it's like, damn, I have an opinion about this. How could I reshape this later to go I may not have another 6 hours before I can even sit down to start to do it. And then somewhere in between that, I done started to put a set of sentences together for a beat that's playing somewhere in the back of my mind as there's a lecture from the minister playing back there somewhere at the same time. So it's like, even if in mind, this is all happening while I'm in front of people who have no clue that this is happening in my brain. You know what I'm saying? We're discussing trauma-informed care, bedside care in the hospital, for patients and things like that. So it's like, the creativity, it never turns off, especially knowing that there's always something to explain. Knowledge is infinite. That we should never run out of things that we should be discussing ever. So that's kind of what it is, brother. Like I don't think I'm never not creating. And really, I can't even put a number to measure how often I do it, because when I have a moment, I just do it. You know what I'm saying? When I have a moment, I just do it.
Yes, sir. Now, with everything that goes into a creation for you, i.e. a musical creation, and you mm-hmm. have your sites up, your links to your music online, from thought to finish, what value would you put on a Ryan Deuce song to sell or give to the world? More of a monetary value, if you could, with all that you put into it, what would you value your art at if you had to?
I mean, that's a tough one the way you worded that. But I mean, overall, of course, I'm just going to feel like it's priceless, but especially because, we live in a time where, everybody rap, like everybody makes music. It's really not special to be an artist anymore. It's just special artist. You know what I'm saying? And so I'm not sure, necessarily where I fall in that. I just know what, people have told me. I see how my own artistry is traveling. So I wouldn't know how to place that kind of value on it. So like I said, it's just priceless. Hence the reason I'm even, why, for instance, brother, the joint I just sent you, that's another known artist's beat. So essentially, that set of bars, as great as I might think they are, and all the great feedback I've gotten on them, I essentially have to accept the fact that as an artist, I give it away for free because I want you to listen to it. You know what I'm saying? Even though I know that the value that it's going to give everything else I might have as an actual product for you late. You see what I'm saying? It'll add to that when I'm like, hey, brother, I got this for, $10.99. I got this for such and such and such. But you'll remember all that priceless stuff I gave you that I can never receive anything from. other than the credibility of knowing, like, yo, that set of like 80 bars you spit, my guy, that was good stuff. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, I approach it from that place because, you know, how arrogant, you know, the artistry can make the artist, like, we be forgetting, like, you notice, like, this is meant to make people feel good, right? It's meant to invoke thought. It's meant to guide people and give them rhythm in their day as they're bopping through their life. Like, we're not supposed to be, like, I get it. You got one good song, like, you, and it is so good. Like, please buy my one song for $30 and help me make $300 million. And yet, for real, it's not even that good. And what's even worse than that is you got one. So what if I did want to tap into you? You ain't even got nothing else I could tap. So what if you got 10? The thing is I want to know as a, because, you know, I'm a fan first. So as a fan, I want to be led down the direction of you like doing this. You like doing this so much that you want me here to witness you do it. You want me to hear you do it. So that's what I, you know, in my mind, it's like, I want you to know I enjoy doing this. I enjoy writing these long ass verses. I love to bounce around through bars and try stuff. Yo, man, I love double entendres, metaphors, similes. I love to create things visually. I love to then try to explain them in these words. Like, I want you to know that when you dealing with me, yo, man, he really likes this. This might really be in him. He's not just playing with my inner. He's not just playing with my intelligence. I'm trying to sell me something later. Nah, man. Even if you don't like this and you don't want to deal with this, I'm gonna keep putting it out. You might like something later. I'm pretty sure you will, because I'm very layered. Right. Know what I'm saying? So, you know, that's just what it is, brother.
Yes, sir.
My bad. You know, I could zone out. Forgive me, brother.
You good, man? Well, I definitely appreciate you plugging in with us today, man. Revealing.
I appreciate your thoughts, you, man.
Revealing your journey and whatnot. If you had a few minutes to share a message or your thoughts with the world, be heard on every speaker in this planet, be seen on every device, every screen, mobile, big jumbotron, and capture the eyes and ears of every human being on this planet for a few minutes, what would Ryan Do say to the world?
Well, first off, I say peace was the science. It's your brother Ryan Do, as I say on everything. For real, man, I know, brother, I'm so glad that you had me up here to talk about music, because I love to talk about music. You know what I'm saying? Like, I love to talk about what it does. You know, one of my favorite chapters in the Quran is chapter 26, the poets. You know what I'm saying? To understand the depth and what it means. And so, but beyond that, one of the things that I think honestly separates me in this thing is the fact that, like, you know, I'm really in the street for real. And I don't mean, like, in a destructive way like we once were as young men. You know what I'm saying? Because, you know, I know many young men who are still living a certain life right now. And not just young, but men, period. But I work with a nonprofit out here that works with the gangs in the community. And me specifically within that organization, I then transitioned into a bedside care, trauma-informed care for people who are victims of trauma and gang violence in the community. So daily I'm seeing the teenagers, I'm seeing the youth, I'm seeing the males, I'm seeing the young women who are coming into the emergency room with bullet wounds, stab wounds, all kinds of things on a daily basis. And I'm there to offer them resources to help them not only get over whatever ailment they might be dealing with as a medium between themselves and the medical staff, but then how they can all put their lives back together as they go back into the community. And so the truth is, when I'm making this music, brother, like, yo, for real, it's not coming from like I'm really not coming from like the rapper place. Like, oh, just please listen to me as a rapper. Like, it's really coming from I love this man. He's one of my favorite artists. But you know really what it is, brother? He died on my birthday. He died September 13th, 1996, the day I turned 14. So in the future, when I'm asking myself, yo, when people make jokes about me looking like him, I rap, I got tattoos on my stomach and all this, and as I get turned up, I'm in the community doing all this other stuff. And then it almost hits me. It makes me wonder, like, is there something I'm supposed to be doing here? Brother Juan, this is how real it is. Would you believe me? Mind, you see my name is Ryan or Deuce, all right? The hood I'm from in Virginia, the Deuce comes from the name 2-6. I've had it since I was like 11. So as an adult, when I learn what chapter 26 is in the Quran, I'm asking myself, yo, what am I doing here? For real. Like, what am I doing here? Yo, my middle name is David. If I took the or out my name, Ryan Deuce, Ryan David, it's almost exactly the same. What am I doing here? And so my approach to this artistry is really from, I feel like I'm honestly supposed to be saying something. Like, I'm not here to necessarily just garner attention, likes. I'm not even the guy who would ever say something remotely close to, I'm the best in the world. There's 8 billion people on the planet. But crazy. And there's people being born every day. You can never be the best. You could only offer what you have. And that's it. And let us hope that what you offer isn't going to help destroy us. Let's hope that it progresses us. Let's hope that it evolves us, pushes us forward in this thing that we love so much. And so I only say that to say, brother, that, you know, anybody who taps into me, no matter what you see from me, whether it's a post on social media, whether you should be lucky, I should be lucky enough to be in your presence doing one of these lectures that I'm known for. You know, I've had the opportunity to lecture at a college, you know what I'm saying, about music, you know what I'm saying? Whether you should listen to my music, whatever the case may be, know that it comes from a real place, man. It comes from an extremely real place. I just, a couple days ago, I'm sitting in a young men's group, brother. I'm sitting in a young men's group, and I'm talking to a young lady who's actually getting ready to take over a higher position in our organization. As I'm texting a young man who I'd seen a couple weeks ago, who had got shot and at a party out here in Denver. It was all over the news. The young man had gotten shot, and so he was healing. He needed some mentorship. As I'm talking to him, brother, he got the bag on. The other day, as I'm texting him, it was his birthday. And yesterday, he was supposed to be getting the bag off. So when I think about what we're doing with this, what we supposed to be saying, what we supposed to be relaying, just know that when you listening to me, it's coming from a real place. I honestly want to bring refinement to the community. I honestly know that Dr. Wesley Muhammad has given us the truth when he spoke to us about entrainment. So, you know, brother, I leave it at that. I just wanted to put it out there. Like, when you see me, like, I get it. You know, we have a number, you know, we're all in these spaces, and we're giving what we have to offer. I just want it to be understood that, you know, sometimes what we have to offer isn't necessarily what's needed. And hence the reason all I have to offer is just what's right. That's it. All I have is consciousness for you. All I have is knowledge itself for you. I don't have anything that's going to bring any harm, because I see harm every day. So that's it, brother.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Well, I definitely appreciate that, and salute to you for holding it down, sir, man, for the righteousness and for the light, the truth. You know what I mean? We're in a dark hour, and like you said, there's a lot of stuff going on, man. There's trauma and filth and violence and stuff all around. You know, we have so much of that. What are we saying with our voice? What are we doing in our space, like you mentioned? You know, you're giving the best of you, the knowledge of self, you know what I mean, and whatnot. So I appreciate you there, brother. Before we go, plug your business, plug your brand, tell people where they need to tap in with you, where they can find you online, how they can build with you and all that, man.
Yeah, man. Ryan the Deuce, you know, as I make my way forward, you know, Conscious Community Music. I'm just out here tapping to me on social media at Ryan_or_2, or just Ryan or Deuce 26 on IG as well, or just Ryan or Deuce period if you're on Facebook and YouTube, man. You know, see what I got going on. I'm out here in the world. I'm out here in the community in Denver. They know me out here. I'm traveling. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, we're just trying to bring, you know, just trying to bring the standard back up, man. You know, do right by ourselves. You know, change the condition of the people, man. That's it.
Yes, sir. Well, I appreciate you again, my brother. You be blessed. And we're going to definitely brother. Be tapping in with you on further building, man. Peace and
blue. Thank you for having me, sir.
Likewise, brother. Peace.
Yes, sir. Peace.
Make sure you tap in with Ryan or Deuce again online. Instagram, Facebook, SoundCloud, YouTube. Search them in your engine. If you're in the Denver area and you're looking to build and progress and grow, definitely find them, you know, hit them on the social media and build. Like we like to say at the Plug Room, before we close, measure yourself to yourself, not to what the others have done. Always strive to be better tomorrow. Do you, be honest, be creative, and stay 1,000. I'm your brother, Juan Carlos X, at Slatestone Music, anywhere online. This is The Plug Room, theplugroom.com, where you can plug your business, plug your brand, and we're all about community development, which is building people and linking people with people. Until next time, peace.